You're listening to FMGRadio.com.
Welcome to the Penelope Cox Show, the educator connector who's improving lives by connecting you to the premier educators teaching digital marketing today. And now, here's your host, Penelope Cox.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show, and thanks so much for joining us this week. I'm Penelope, your host. I'm really excited about today's show. We're talking about online events in terms of telesummits and teleseminars and conference calls and how you can use these events to really help explode your business, even if you are tech challenged. Our guest today is Lana McCara. Lana is a master at coordinating online events and online virtual assistant services. We're going to be talking today about how these events work and the secrets of how you can use these events, yes, to explode your business, and where to go to get a lot more information on this particular subject. Our guest, Lana McCara, for the past 25 years has been an award-winning, best-selling author of 19 books, with more than 500,000 books sold, writing under her name of Rosie Dow. Lana is also the host of OnlineEventsMadeSimple.com on BlogTalkRadio.com. And she's the creator of an innovative marketing tool called Instant Client Generator, where you can get results delivered right to your email in less than 10 minutes, telling you why your clients buy. Lana's been a project manager for more than 30 years and an internet marketing specialist. She takes care of all the dozens of confusing details that do surround these online events so that you can be successful in your own online marketing. Lana McCara facilitates telesummits of all sizes, teleseminars and conference calls attended by people from all over the world, from the privacy and comfort of your own home where you can host the events, yes, in your PJs if you want. For more information, and if you want to connect with Lana, we'll be mentioning her website a few times throughout the interview, but her website, you can connect with her at busybeesunlimited.com. Lana McCara, it's an absolute honor to have you here on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Penelope. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Well, I am too, because I can learn a lot about this particular subject. Before we really get into talking about what an online event is and defining an online event in terms of telesummits and teleseminars, kind of briefly tell us, how did you get started? How did you actually get started facilitating these online events yourself?
Wow, it's a kind of a long story. I guess everybody has a long story they can make short, and I hope I can make mine short too. But it started when I was in the book world. Of course, I was into writing and sharing. I was a speaker, and I loved to share things with people, teaching and also my story and all kinds of different things. In 2005, I discovered the internet, and that's when things were really starting to ramp up online, and I took my first online course in 2005, and that was a course about how to design websites and how to sell things from the web pages and things like that. So I got really interested in it because the internet is so wide. There's no barriers. You can be broadcasting around the entire globe with one session. You have no limits whatsoever. If a person can get on a telephone or online, they can hear you. And that just intrigued me to no end. And it's also, very, very inexpensive to do that. So sometimes free, sometimes almost free. Anyway, I started that, and I began to teach other authors how to get their work online. And I had a company from 2007 until 2010 that was doing that. I was teaching all about online marketing, how to do teleseminars. We'll talk about what they are in a little bit here, but also how to do email broadcasting, how to do online article marketing and social media, and all about various aspects of what it takes to get your work out there, email campaigns and autoresponders and all these kind of things. I was teaching those classes nonstop for those years. But I never wanted to really do it for anybody. I thought, oh, you know, people ask me all the time, oh, why don't you just do this for me? Because it's hard to learn it. I just get tired of looking at it. I want you to do it for me. And I said, I don't think so. I think that would be, you know, too boring for me. And so I didn't do it. So then in in 2010, I started a company that was about identifying your ideal prospect, and I created that software at Instant Client Generator. You know, that was my business. I was consulting. And then this past year, I burnt out. I got really burnt out with all the travel and everything that was involved in the consulting business, and I just stopped. I just had to take a break to decide, this is really burning me out. What do I really want to do here? You know, what do I want to be when I grow up, right? So I thought, well, you know what I'll do? I'll just get a little temp work here and there, and tide myself over, you know, until I figure out what I really want to do. So I took a job with a gal who was doing a 40-speaker telesummit. And I was the girl behind the scenes, and I was orchestrating all the different various parts. There's so many parts to putting together a big event like that. And I found out that, you know what? I like this. I like doing this. I thought it would be boring. It's not boring. It's fun to me. And so I went on, and I started getting other clients, and now I have a team and a business. We are doing telesummits. It's one of the best things I've ever done. So that's how I got here. It was like it unfolded. My path found me instead of me searching for it, which I think is the best way to do it.
I do too. I've got a burnout personality, so I know exactly what you mean. Kind of taking a step back and finding out what your life is really all about and how you want to manifest your life is crucial. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, then, what are online events? How would you define an online event? And what are the different types of online events?
Okay, well, there are several types of online events. They all involve presenting, like you would present a seminar or a workshop, you know, in a live setting. You would do the same kind of event or the same kind of presentation in a virtual setting where you're at home or in your office and you're talking on the phone, or you could be at your computer wearing a headset, depending on the program that you're using. Sometimes they are just the voice, so they're just audio, and we call those teleseminars because it's a seminar by telephone, so it's a teleseminar. And then there are conference calls, which is, you know, also on the phone. The difference between a conference call and a teleseminar is a conference call is simply a bridge line where people call in. There's no web presence at all. It's all by phone. But if you have a teleseminar, you're on the phone, but then people can also listen online. There's a web page and a little button to push, and they can sit there and listen, even if they're in Africa or Asia or anywhere around the world. And then there are webinars. Webinars are events where there's a slideshow. And most everybody has seen these webinars where you get an invitation, you click the link, you go into the room, and there's a big screen that comes up on your computer, and the person does like a PowerPoint show while he presents. So there's a webinar format as well. And then there are telesummits. Now, in the real world, in the live world, if you're going to a summit, you're going to an event where there are many speakers. It could be over several days. And you're going to get, you know, lots of information in the room. And so a telesummit is where we have a series of these teleseminars. Many, many speakers can be presenting under one umbrella, one event. And we do anywhere from 7 speakers up to 40. And I'm actually doing one this year that has 60, but it's spread out over the whole year. So it's every week for a year, and some weeks have 2. These telesummits are very influential. They're very productive. And you can get, usually they're free. You can get a lot of exposure by hosting a telesummit or being in a telesummit. So it's just a group, it's just a big conference with lots of people, and they can be delivered like one per day, every day, you know, like 5 days a week for a couple or 3 or 4 weeks, or it could be just one a week or 2 a week. It just depends on how the host wants to spread them out. They could be compact and all at once, or they can be spread out over months. Did you have any other specific type of online event that you can think of?
Just kind of wondering, what are the different online events? And you laid it out very well in terms of how the webinars, the teleseminars, conference calls, telesummits, how they differ. Can you go a little bit into a telesummit? How does this work? the tools that a person might need, the resources a person might need, any skill sets that a person might need. Can you get into a little bit more of the tech part of how to make a telesummit actually work?
Sure. When you put together an event like this, the first step, as with all events, is to contact the people that you want to speak and to draw in on your contacts and also people that you know who know people, you know. So if you say, well, I want to get in touch with Jack Canfield, who do I know that knows Jack Canfield? Well, I know this person who coaches with them. Okay, I'm going to call them up and see if they'll give me an introduction to Jack Canfield so I can get him into my summit. So you do all those, go through all those steps, connect with all those people. And when you make that introduction or that connection, you need to be very clear on what you're asking for. So you're going to be asking your speaker to present. You're going to need some information from them, like their picture and a little bio of them to put on the website, and other things that go into creating this whole package that you need from your speaker. So there's also money sharing that goes on. So in the telesummit, you can sell the recordings of this event, just like they have back table sales, you know, in a live event. You can also sell the recordings from your telesummit. And if your speakers are bringing in people, they get a commission from any of those that you sell because they helped you make that sale by inviting people to come. And then at the same time, if the speaker sells something during the event, you get a commission just the same as if you were in the live event and you're hosting that live event. Your speakers are going to give you a commission if they sell something from the stage. Same principle there. So there's money sharing that goes on with the telesummit. So there's really two reasons to have a telesummit. One is you're going to build some more mailing lists, because one of the reasons to invite influential people is because they have a good mailing list. And so you're going to ask them to mail for you to promote this event. That brings people in. Then you get to collect the names of the people who come. And so you're building that really good list. And people can build anywhere from 5,000 to 50,000 mailing lists from one event, depending on the number of speakers and the quality of the speakers. So there's that component of it, and then there's also the financial component where you're going to be earning income. Now, it's a balancing act, as it would be with a live event. It costs to put on a telesummit, so you have to balance the cost against, you know, the projected income. And generally speaking, that's the same as with a live event. It's hard to predict how that's going to go. My take on it is it's better to go for the list. You know you're going to get lists. You don't know if you're going to make money. So anyway, all that to say, then once you get your speaker's agreement, you start collecting their information. You have to get a website put up and a place for people to come and sign up and a place where people can see what it's going to be about. Because you're going to pick a theme and, you know, get your marketing going there and get your sales copy up there and everything. Well, then people come in, start to sign up, and then they have to be welcome to the, you know, emails have to go out. Welcome to the event. Here's how it's going to work. This is the schedule and all those things that have to happen to keep people involved. And then the time of the event comes up and someone has to set up all those different events for people to come into and get all those things ready there and attend the control panel, make a recording of it and monitor everything. And then you as the host would be doing the interviewing. And so you would be either asking your guests to give you questions, which is what I do, because my guests know what they like to talk about. So if they give me their questions, then I know they're going to be on track. You know, we're not trying to pull anything on anybody. We want everybody to be happy and you know, their best genius. So we ask the speakers to give questions to show up for the interview. And then you do your interview, and then when it's over, you know, then there is a replay that, you know, email goes out to say, come on over and listen to the replay if you missed it, or maybe you want to hear it again. And then the speaker makes an offer, and the offer, you know, has to go out on the website or on the replay email or somewhere. And so you just keep cycling through them until you finish. And then when you finish, that's when you start counting the money and, you know, getting those deliveries, whatever you have to deliver, getting them out, wind up the event. So it is a very multi-layered process. It's not for everyone. And I've had people to call me wanting to do a telesummit because they saw someone do one or they got in a class about doing one or something. And it's very important to be at the right place in your business before you begin a project like this. It is very, it's a big project, and you need to be ready for it.
When you say right place of your business, what do you mean by that?
Well, you need to have a solid business model going. You need to have some clients. You need to have a few people on your mailing list. I have a client right now who has no mailing list. So who's she going to tell to come? She doesn't have one. She's depending on her speakers completely for mailing for her and bringing people in. Now, that's okay, you know, but it's really not the best situation when you have no mailing list at all. I mean, even 200 people is better than no list at all. So few people to tell about it to, because your mailing list is everything in online business.
So what would be the minimum number that a person should have on their email list before they should seriously consider doing one of these?
I would say 200. 200 is it's small, but at least it's a start. And also a presence on the social media places like Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. At least two of those to have some presence. When you come into an event like this and you have no mailing list and you're not even on Twitter at all, or you have only 10 friends on Facebook, you're very limited in the amount of exposure that you can get. Just as with an event that is a live event, everything is in the marketing of it. You can have the best event ever, but if the marketing is weak, then people are not going to come. They're not going to know about it. Just to have a little start with your business, have some clients who love you, and you can get them to help you tell people and things like that is such a benefit. You don't have to have a five-figure, six-figure business to start, but you need to have a start somewhere. You need to have some start before you begin.
And when you say presence on a few of the social networks, like maybe a couple thousand on Twitter?
Well, I don't think it would even have to be a couple thousand on Twitter. I think 500 on Twitter would be great. Or even, you know, maybe even less than that, maybe 300 on Twitter. If you have 250 Facebook friends, that's a place to start. Now, it's nice to have more. You know, it's great to have 10,000 Twitter followers and, you know, 4,500 on Facebook. They'll only let you go to 5,000 on Facebook. You know, the more the better, but just a few, at least just a few, not to just have nothing, zero, and, you know, think that you're going to go into Twitter and start marketing when you don't even have anybody at all. That's very difficult. It's very challenging. And then spam filters go up because, you know, they're watching to see people who come in and do nothing but market. You need to have a little presence there before you start to market.
What kind of earnings have you seen come in on some of these events?
I think that a telesummit is more about gaining influence and building lists than it is about actually making money. There are people who do make money. I know personally of some people who've made $10,000, $20,000 from a telesummit, but they've been in business for quite a while. They have a strong presence and they've got their business model down, their marketing down. And so they're able to monetize a lot better because they're established and they're well-known in the field. But to just come in cold, it's a really great way to build a mailing list. That's the thing that you go for. Because if your list is only, say, if you only have 200 people on your mailing list and you end up with 4,000 at the end of a couple months, that is awesome. It took me about 2 years to build my my 5,000-person mailing list. So that's a shortcut to success, because if you have somebody to mail to, then you can have, you know, start a base and get your business going. It's a good way to launch with that. So I wouldn't focus on the money. I would see it as an investment in the future.
So someone that does a telesummit that has an established business, what would their objectives be? Would they be perhaps promoting a new product? Or would it be, again, predominantly building your list?
Building a list is a main goal of it. I know some people, I have a couple of clients who are in seven-figure businesses. They have a couple purposes for doing these telesummits. One is to get fresh people into their list because they need new people. They want to have fresh faces to mail to. The second thing is promoting an event, a live event, and scheduling a telesummit like 6 weeks before a live event with the goal of focusing on, don't forget our live event in 6 weeks. You know, that comes up every single time there's a session, then it really does help to build the buzz for that live event. So there's a couple of reasons. And another one would be a program coming up that you have that you want to promote. And you're going to have all these people listening to this telesummit, and you get a chance every single session in your intro or your exit speech that you are going to talk about something, you know, like that. So that gives you an opportunity to market to a lot more people in a live setting where your voice is coming out in a live setting. So that's a lot more powerful than just sending email. So there's a lot of ways to use it.
The telesummit is a little bit more, it sounds like it might be a little bit more advanced. Would someone who's just beginning online events, would it be more advantageous for them maybe to start with teleseminars or start with a conference call, and telesummit would be the last thing that they do? Would you suggest for newbies to start somewhere else or start with an easier online event?
I sure would. I think that, especially because interviewing is a big part of it, that you would get used to interviewing people. That way, when you come into the event, you're going to be comfortable. You're going to have, you know, got a feel for how it works. And, you know, if you're interviewing your fellow attendee at a conference that you met, you know, who's just like you on your level, that's fun because that's, you know, interactive and you got good energy and all that. But if you're just a fresh, trying to do this fresh and new, and you're interviewing some of the big names, you're interviewing Deepak Chopra or somebody that you really respect, and you're like, oh, you know, you're getting all nervous. And it's so much better to just get used to it with someone that is not intimidating, someone that you really, you know, have a connection to already, and that kind of thing. So I would suggest doing many of them, 10, 20, before you would launch into the telesummit. At least that's my feeling.
Many of what? Just plain old interviews or teleseminars, conference calls, many of what?
Anything. I mean, you could do conference calls that are just on the phone. You could go into instant teleseminar and do the teleseminars, you know, that's broadcast on the phone and online. I would not suggest starting out with a webinar because handling the PowerPoint as well as the speaking can get to be distracting and, you know, technically just hard to handle all the different pieces at one time. I prefer the teleseminar. That's a telephone interview that's broadcast online because it's very simple. Just a phone conversation. You have a few notes. You know where you're going, and you just talk through the questions. It's very simple to do that, and that's what I prefer. I've done hundreds and hundreds of these at this point in my life, but I'm still very comfortable here, and it works. So why fix it if it's not broke, right?
Where does a person go? Where are the options that a person can go to really learn this? Because this is not something that you just decide on a whim that, oh, I'm going to do a telesummit. There's a lot more to this. And so where can a person go to learn the tools and the steps that are all involved with this? And perhaps it's someone like yourself. I want to take a quick break, and when I return, maybe you can give us some heads up on options of where people can go to pick up the skills that they need in order to make telesummit successful. Lana, let me take a quick break for a sponsor. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FMG Radio Network, where our motto is have fun, make money, do good. We provide platforms to individuals who have a cause, message, or information that they would like to share with the world. If you'd like to join the FMG family and have your own radio show, please call us at 1-800-470-4982. That's 1-800-470-4982. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back. We're here with our guest, Lana McCara. Gosh, there's so many details to this that I think a lot of people may not have realized. And I don't think I want people to be nervous about doing telesummits because it provides such incredible opportunities to build a person's business like you were talking about. But there's a learning curve. So where do we go to learn this stuff?
Well, there are several people out there that teach how to do a telesummit. My favorite, someone that I know is a personal friend of mine. Her name is Sage Levine, S-A-G-E-L-A-V-I-N-E, Sage Levine. If you just do a Google search for Sage Levine telesummit program, she will definitely pop up. She's the queen of telesummit. And she has an actual course that she teaches, that's a step-by-step program that would help you get, you know, through the various aspects of how to get those speakers on board and what products to offer and things like that. So I recommend Sage Levine. Nothing in it for me. She's just a friend of mine. I would love to, you know, promote her. If you're looking at teleseminars, how to do teleseminars on an individual basis, if you go to instantteleseminar.com, instantteleseminar.com, I love that program. I've been using it since 2007. And they have a lot of training materials that are free if you go in there and if you join it. I think you can join for 3 weeks. You get it for $1 just to try it out. So my recommendation would be spend $1, go over there and look at their training videos. It's really good. They've got lots of different things about doing interviews, all kinds of things that they have there that you know, you can have access to for $1 for 21 days.
What about learning conference calls and webinars?
Conference calls, I recommend freeconferencecall.com. Freeconferencecall.com is what I use myself, and it's free. And it's simply a matter of going in and getting your phone number and your PIN, and then just start doing some. You know, just start asking friends and go in there, meet on the conference line, and interview them. When you feel like you're getting comfortable with it, then you can start inviting some people. Oh, we're going to be discussing how to potty train a 2-year-old tonight at 8. If you have a 2-year-old, you know, join us. It is amazing the topics that come up. Yeah. Get your feet wet. It's a lot of fun.
That's the name of the game. Just kind of do it. Once a person decides that they would like to do this, this being an online event, some type of online event, obviously everyone wants to be successful, maybe not right off the bat. But what are the top things a person absolutely must avoid when they start thinking about, okay, I want to do an online event, but there's probably a few things I absolutely should do. One sounds to me like get some training. But what are the top things that a person really should avoid?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't try to do it by yourself. There's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things to learn, and it can be so overwhelming that you might not get started. If you could find someone to help you work through some of this, even if it's just like trading with a friend, that would be ideal. That's the first thing I would say. Don't take on too much. One of my biggest holdbacks in my career has been that I'm such an avid learner that I want to learn everything. And I got into this business. I went in, I learned everything. And it took me so much longer to get to success because I didn't have time to do it all myself. I ended up spending time on my computer doing things that I shouldn't really be doing myself, and I didn't make money. You know, I'm too busy loading the email into the autoresponder when I could have had a virtual assistant do that for me, and then I could make my sales calls. You know, those business cards sitting on the desk that I didn't have time for. And I'm you know, I have a virtual assistant company, but what I'm saying is I didn't always do this, you know. I had a consulting business, and when I hired my personal assistant, who's still my assistant today, I tripled my income the first month after she came in. Why? Because I had time to make sales calls. Finally had time to make those calls. So don't try to do it all yourself. Yes, it might cost you, but it will make you a lot more than it costs because you need to be focusing on what you're good at and not the mundane things that you can get someone else to do for you. It will pay you in the long run.
So if someone's doing some training and someone goes to some of the resources that you've just talked to us about, how do they know when they're ready to host their own online event? Like, okay, I've done some of this stuff. I think I'm ready, but, well, I don't know if I'm ready or not. How does the person know that they're ready?
You're ready if you have a message and you can get it organized. If you can take what you know that you're trying to teach if you can take that information and organize it into, say, 3 to 5 bullet points, give it a good, solid title, and you can deliver that and teach people and help them, or maybe you're coaching or whatever you're doing, if you can see a result in people, you are ready. You're ready. You don't have to have a lot of specialized training or anything else. If you can hold a telephone and deliver that message, you're ready. You just, if you don't know the technical aspect of it, get some help. Just get some help. Don't wait. And another thing I wanted to say about not avoid, you know, what to avoid. One thing to avoid is perfectionism. You know, it's not, it's, there are going to be times when it's not perfect. But guess what? That's okay. That's really okay. The message is going to go out. It's better for the message to go out than to be sitting there with it not going out. And, you know, if you're waiting for perfection, it's never going to happen. You know, it might not be perfect. You might stumble. You might stutter. You might make some statement that you have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. That came out wrong. Let me say that again. That's okay. One of the most successful people on YouTube is this guy with a wine. He has a wine, like a show that he puts on YouTube. You know, it's just a little 2-minute, 5-minute clips about the different wines, and he does reviews on them and stuff. And there are noises in the background, people walking across. And, you know, he's right there in his business. He's doing it live in his business. And sometimes he gets pretty emotional about things. And he's wildly successful because people want to see what's going to happen. You know, they actually get a lot of hits just because he's unpredictable. And you never know what's going to go wrong. So, yeah, I mean, you want to be professional. You want to present yourself well. But if something happens, you know, it's just life. And believe me, it's going to be okay. And you just got to keep on going and get up there and do the next one next time, because that's how we build our credibility, that we are there. We are a presence with a message, and we're not going anywhere. That's very important.
It is. Thank you for sharing that. One last question. Your company, Busy Bees Unlimited, it is, my understanding, it's a full service, and you've mentioned it a couple of times. It's a full service virtual assistant company. You've been so dear to provide other resources where people can go, but what about your company, Busy Bees Unlimited? Do you provide training to people for these different types of online events? That's, I guess, one question, just to confirm. And number two, what are your services with your company that you do offer?
Well, thank you for asking that, Penelope. We do not offer training. We offer service. I did the training. I did the training routine years ago, and I just went right into the service part of it. We do just about everything that has to be done online. We do not create sales pages or web pages, and we do not write sales copy. That's about the only things we don't do. We can handle all shopping carts except for Infusionsoft. We do the emailing, all the email. Loading emails and getting them out on time and all of that. We do social media. We will manage people's social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and we will grow your social media. So if your social media is small, we can take it from 250 up to over 1,000 in just a few weeks and do it without getting you, you know, noticed by Facebook and Twitter and those people. We also set up these events. We monitor the events. I would coach a client of mine through the event. That's one thing that I do. I give my expertise to my clients. If you want to do a telesummit, you've never done one before, that's okay. I will coach you through it, and we'll get through it together. But as far as just offering training for somebody to do it on their own, that's not my business model right at this point. So that's basically it. Usually what I say is ask if we do it. Because most of the time we'll say yes, and if we don't do it, we will just say, we don't do it. So that's very simple.
So if this is a business model, being online events that someone wants to do, they could connect with you and simply discuss in terms of how to get this going, and you would either provide the services that you have or give them resources to go to that they could then kind of combine with your services. I mean, I see a person pulling 2 or 3 resources together in order to pull this off. Is that right?
That's correct. I have connections with, and everything that we do is very affordable. We charge a flat rate for our online events and a very reasonable rate for our VA services. And I also have connections with affordable web designers and other people, support people that are not a part of our company, but we help each other, and I send them people, they send me people, because we know that everybody needs help in a lot of different ways. And so my resources are firm and longstanding, and so that's part of what I offer is I've been in this business for a long time. I know a lot of people, and my heart is to help. That's it. My heart is to help. If someone calls me just to check in, and I do send out emails and put on Facebook all the time, if you want to talk to me, here's my my link to my calendar. It's makeadatewithlana.com. You can remember that one, makeadatewithlana.com. All you have to do is go over there and get on the calendar, and I will talk with you. I'll spend 30 minutes just to see what you need and how can I help and who maybe I can introduce you to or what I can recommend. I'll be glad to do that.
Good place to end. You're the go-to person to get someone moving in the right direction. Lana, you've been a delight. Thank you so much. This is important stuff, and there's more to it than what I had understood initially. So thank you very much for sharing with us today. I appreciate that. You've been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Penelope. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
And for our audience, again, if they want to connect with you to get further information about online events or further information about Busy Bees Unlimited in terms of the services you provide, again, the best place for them to go would be busybeesunlimited.com. Is that correct?
That's my Facebook page. It's busybeesunlimited.com. You can connect with me on Facebook or there, or just go over to makeadatewithlana.com and set up a time to talk.
Excellent.
And I'll see, you know, how I can help you. If you need something, I probably know somebody that can help you out. And I'll be glad to give you a recommendation to who you can connect with, or if you want to work with us, that's fine too.
Excellent. And for our audience's convenience, Lana's guest bio, along with her links that we've just talked about, are also archived here both on fmgradio.com and on my official site at PenelopeCoxShow.com. Thank you again, Lana McCara. You've been great.
Thanks.
The Penelope Cox Show airs every Thursday evening, 8 p.m., 7 Central, on fmgradio.com. I'm Penelope Cox. Thanks a lot for joining us this week. Remember, invest in your education, learn from the best.
You've been listening to The Penelope Cox Show, The Educator Connector. All showtimes, guest files, and interviews are archived on Penelope's official site at penelopecoxshow.com.